I'm going to start, and I'm going to talk just for a minute about Mary and Martha, and you know who I'm talking about, right? Those two sisters who both loved Jesus, but had very different approaches in what they did and how they showed it and how they lived. And for those of you who know me even a little bit or have listened to me in any of my podcasts, you will know that I fall squarely into Camp Martha. If there is something that needs to be done, I'm your girl. I will get it done. And what I have learned is it's not just because I'm good at getting things done, it's because I have this other issue with control. And if I'm in control, I know it'll get done. Which is ridiculous, because what I'm learning is that there are plenty of people who can get it done. It's not just me. But I really am starting to appreciate Mary and the time that she takes in faith just to sit at the feet of Jesus and trust that everything will get done. She doesn't worry about who's in control. She knows who's in control. She knows it's Jesus. And what I'm learning, or what I feel like when I think about this, is that really it's good to be a combination of both of them. It's good to be able to sit at his feet and learn from him, but then it's also good to be able to go out and do what he wants you to do. And I have a really good friend, and we talk we talk a lot about Jesus. And she's a Mary. And she's always saying, oh, I just want to be so much more like you. You know, I could just sit with Jesus all day and never do a thing. And I'm just like, well, you know, I can tell you this, doing it all the time is not the way to be either. So what we decided is we were going to start praying for each other. She was going to pray for me to be more like a Mary, and I was going to pray for her to be more like a Martha. And this came at a particularly good time. We just started talking about it probably right after Thanksgiving. And I was already feeling that urge as Martha, you know, creeping in. Here come the holidays. What do I need to do? And if you listen to the podcast, you know that I was pretty successful this Christmas season. I, through my prayer, and I know my intercessory prayer for my friend, I was really able to feel much more like Martha much more like Mary than my usual Martha. I was able to I spent a lot of time, God gave me a new spiritual practice this month that has just really been very powerful for me, and it's something I look forward to each day. And it's caused me to have a lot more quiet time with him, which I know is why he gave it to me. And she said she had a good Christmas too. She was able to get a few more things done and still was able to sit and enjoy Jesus. So I think that this journey that God has us on in this life, there's a lot to it. But the most important part is just spending it with him. Because he's the one who gives us the power and the direction, the motivation, the talent to do what it is that he needs to do. And if you're like me and you think you're the one who's responsible for all that, it's okay. He'll forgive you. All you got to do is say, I did it again. I'm sorry. He'll let you back in. He'll remind you that he's got this whole thing under control, and your life will be so much better for it. At least mine certainly was. So those of you who are Marthas, I think you probably understand what I'm saying. And those of you who are Marys, you're a great example for me. And I do notice it when I see it. So I think it's a good thing. Just pay attention. You know, which one are you? And is there something that you need to focus on changing a little bit to be more in line with what he wants you to do? And maybe you need to ask someone to pray with you, because I think that really helped me. All right, you ready?
Lynn's a Martha. I tend toward the Mary end. And there are times when that's really valuable. it was valuable for me this Christmas because it enabled me to stop and be still and kind of look back at the arc of what God was doing in my life, which is always fun. Many times I get so busy practicing being in the moment that I don't see how the moments string together. And if you listen to the podcast, you'll understand that I had all these moments, and then it was finally at the end that God said, look, this is what I'm really teaching you. So before I start today, I just want to ask you what you think when I say the least of these. What do you think when I say the least of these? Okay, now hold that because we're going to come back to it, right? So if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I cited 5 experiences that I had over the holidays where God had an unexpected surprise for me. And this morning, I'm going to tell you about the 6th one, which actually was the first one. It's the one that started it all off, and I didn't realize that until much later. But it's what set this whole journey up, and it's what started a whole cascade kind of light bulbs going off for me, right? So Thanksgiving. This was our off year for Thanksgiving, meaning the kids were all off doing their thing with their in-laws and all that, and our table was relatively empty. It wasn't relatively empty. It was me and Harold, you know. And he takes up a lot of space. Maybe I shouldn't say that. We have in the past done this and have always done something on Thanksgiving, whether we've served someplace or whatever. Well, none of the things that we normally do were available. So Harold and I were sitting around, and this is like Tuesday before Thanksgiving on Thursday, right? So what can we do? And he said, why don't we invite people who have lost their spouses, or either because they have gone to heaven or because they have dementia and they can't really get out. And I said, that'll be a great idea. So we asked some people, a couple of them's children stepped up and they could go to their children. We ended up with 2 people. As it happened, they were both men. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do a menu that doesn't remind them of traditional Thanksgiving that they may be missing, that they will probably enjoy. And so we had steak and potatoes. Right? It was so easy for me. I've decided we may do this every year. But at any rate, they came early. They came about 10. And they were so excited to be there. They brought pies and wine and flowers, and they helped clean up and put up and wash dishes. And one of them had brought his new toy, which if you know men, they're just big boys. And so they took the new toy out into the pasture. It was this mini drone, and they flew it around all over everywhere. And they had so much fun, and we just laughed. And it was a great day. Well, about 6 o'clock that evening, I started thinking, what am I going to feed these guys for supper? Because they weren't actually leaving. And at any rate, they finally did, with hugs and great, you know, Thanksgiving for God's gifts and gratitude for me. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was easy. There was no drama. I really felt like a queen. I've decided I should do this every year. That's me trying to plan ahead and control it, right? But only later, when Harold and I were reflecting on, you know, what a lovely day it had been, that God revealed this first unexpected surprise. And it was paradigm shifting for me. I know this is going to sound crazy to some of y'all, but that's the thing that cascaded through the whole rest of the Christmas season. Now, you know the verse in Matthew 25, verse 40? Whenever you have done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Now, I don't know about y'all, but for me, when I hear the least of these, I always think about people who are homeless, people who are living under a bridge, poor people, the immigrants that are coming across that don't have a job, kids who are in a war zone, the hungry, the lonely, those kinds of things, right? I never thought the least of these would be at my Thanksgiving table. But what I realized is sometimes the least of these looks just like us. And that oriented me to see people through the rest of the holiday season more with God's eyes and less with my expectations, because those men needed Jesus as much as Harold and I do. And that's what set up the whole cascade of God's surprises through the holidays. So I know you guys are going to have a fabulous time in your small groups talking about all this stuff. We did, certainly, in the leaders, as Lynn mentioned. We could have still been there, actually, and y'all would be here going, where are they? So y'all just have fun with it. It is faith building to hear how God is working in your life and in someone else's life. And if it's like the leaders, somebody is going to say something that you go, oh yeah, that was just for me today. That was an unexpected surprise for me today. So why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of time to be together. Thank you for the holidays that we've been through where we can be grateful for you. We can celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus, who makes it all possible. Thank you for the times that you have surprised us in wonderful ways and sometimes in hard ways. Thank you for the ways you disorient us so that you can reorient us, as Thomas said in his sermon on Sunday. I pray, Father, that you will open up our eyes to see your activity, our ears to hear your voice, and our hearts to both you and to all the people that you bring into our lives, that we may be surprised by your joy and your grace and your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.